Let's go now.
It is the closing days of time. Watch on the glorious hope above. Soon all wondrous truths of life. He shall reign, King of kings, Lord of lords. Oh, he's coming soon.
Sing it, everybody.
He's coming soon. With joy, we welcome his return. It may be hard, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming soon. The signs are running at an end. Oh, faithful witness is in heaven, that the coming of the Savior draweth
nigh.
Oh, he's coming soon.
He's
coming soon. We joy, we welcome it with all. It may be hard, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming soon. And then he cries to lead us back. If the blessed numbers all shall rise,
yes, sir.
When through the portals of the sky, he shall go to prepare a paradise.
Tell you, there are two gospels. Amen. Because there are two rains. Just as we have the latter rain and the former rain, we also have two gospels. The former rain is the first gospel. And the latter rain is the second gospel. The former rain, the gospel that followed the former rain, was for God so loved the world. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. Christ loves you. Eh? He died for you. He shed his blood for you. He's a merciful God. Eh? Don't perish and go to hell. That is the first gospel. The second gospel that follows the latter rain is he is coming soon. It's no more give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. Hallelujah. He is coming soon. Expectation of the coming of the bridegroom. Hallelujah. When a bridegroom, when a young man meets a young girl, the way he speaks to woo her is different from after he has agreed. If she has agreed now, you love me, true, you mean that, you agree now, you go marry me, say, after he agrees, I go marry you, what next? They prepare for the marriage. The next thing they meet is how far now. They don't prepare the wedding gown. What of the cake? The language, the discussion, the topic, the issue of discussion is different from when he was saying, okay, as I see you, I hope this sleep again. Eh? You get a girlfriend? You get a wife? Who get a girlfriend? You get a girlfriend. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is what salvation is all about. You try to get her attention. And that's exactly what the Holy Ghost does. After you have given your life to Christ. Amen. The language changes. And so don't expect to come in these latter days in this with this end time message. That is what the end time message is. And if you understand this fact, I am telling you now, that is the pattern for every wedding, for every marriage, then you will truly see the need for an end time message. That is a confirmation that there is a message. The message is not to unbelievers outside. The entire message, church, listen, it's not to go to beer parlor. You can't preach the entire message in a beer parlor. And that's why people come here and they misunderstand us here. They say we are critics. They say we too, they criticize. That is the same way the devil and unbelievers and others, they see us. When we are preaching, evangelist go to preach salvation, you enter beer parlor. You are saying that give your life to Christ. Unbeliever will say, hey, leave it, leave us. We have freedom to live our life anyhow. Don't condemn us. Because that type of gospel is to the unbelievers. But the entire message is for people who are already believers. I don't know how many people understand me. That's why people don't understand the anointing that is on now. The anointing that is crying out now, that is the shout to a group of people. Come out! Stop this religion. Every day you are going to church, you come back, hallelujah, come back, pay your tithe, and you know nothing beyond that. He is coming soon. That is the message. That is the message, the gospel that goes with the latter rain. And you sit down here, hallelujah. I told you, in Matthew 22, that parable there, the parable there, of the marriage feast. Everybody was invited, many are called. And but there is a time for inspection. The governor of the feast came to now take a look. Why was he taking a look? Because before you can come for that feast, there is a qualification. there is a dressing you are supposed to be dressed. And the Bible says, that story, that parable says, there was a man that was in that feast without the wedding garment. My emphasis there is, the governor of the feast called the man out. How come? How manage? Why are you in this? It's not possible to be here. You can see you are different from the rest. Answer me. How come you came for this without a wedding garment? The emphasis that the Bible says, he was speechless. And I say that if he was speechless, it means he had the message. He had the message. But he refused to get himself dressed for the wedding. So he can't say, I thought I can dress like this. I thought I can come anyhow. I thought it's grace, it doesn't matter. I thought since I speak in tongue, it is okay. He can't say that because he had. He had. That's why I said, foolish virgin will never hear this message. Foolish virgin, why they are foolish is that they did not hear the message. Anybody that hears the message and refuses to get himself dressed, there is no second chance for you. Because you are no more foolish, you are only disobedient. Because you had. You see? So I just want you to understand why we preach the way we preach here. And nothing will stop us from condemning denominationalism and all their errors. We will continue to condemn it until all the ransomed be saved to sin no more. The songwriter there says, until all the ransomed, something, until they be saved to sin no more and saved to see no more. Until that, you know, I'm past me. Hallelujah. He said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge in beneath that flood. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They will be saved to sin no more. We will continue to scream. We will continue to preach the way we preach. Even if it will cost us our lives, we will preach. The greatest joy of a professional soldier is that he will die by a bullet. Not to die by accident. Not to die by sickness. He said you die on active service. Die at the battlefield. You are given a heroic burial. And how wonderful it will be to find us cross over to the other side. And then the angel come to receive you. Where are you coming from? I was preaching the truth. Now they hit my head. There will be a heroic welcome home. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No threat. Nothing will stop us from preaching the truth. If you don't give your offering, we will still preach it. If you don't greet us, we will still preach it. Remember, the gospel is not for everybody. This same thing we hammer here is the reason why some people get converted. But it's also the same reason why some people don't like this church. But you who so love the truth until not even rain can stop you from coming here, get dressed, get dressed. Make sure you get dressed. Make sure you get dressed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Two scriptures I want us to read and a short admonition from there. Two scriptures. One of them is common, but I just want us to take a thought from there. Matthew 11 and Micah chapter 2. I know some people will not know where Micah is, but We will feed it, whether you know where it is or not. When you reach home, you search for it, you will see it. Hallelujah. Let me quickly explain something. When at this standing up to read, it's William Branham that emphasized it. And it is practiced in all end-time message churches. The text for the day, when they want to pick the text for the day, they will all stand up and they will all read the text. It became our tradition. Those sitting there, are they on wheelchairs or they are not hearing me? If they are on wheelchair, receive your miracle. But one thing I observed with William Branham is that everything he did, there was a scriptural backup, even if he didn't say it. Now, he didn't say this. Just not too long ago, I came across the scripture that supports this. That's why I say, before we read, let me quickly make this comment. It's in Nehemiah. Maybe you want to mark it in your Bible. Nehemiah chapter, I think it's chapter 8, yes. If you are there, let me read it from verse 1. Nehemiah, they have come back to their land now. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. That is the story, the history of pulpit. Before the pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. The pulpit is made for the preaching of the word. And beside him stood all those people that are listed there, verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all people, for he was above all the people. That is, he was in an elevation. The pulpit was elevated so that he was higher, so that everybody could see him. And when he opened it, all the people did what? All the people did what? They stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered what? They answered what? How many times did they answer? And the people answered? With lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Joshua and all those people who stood with him and the Levites caused the people, the ministers, caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Now, let us read, and then we will cause you to understand the reading. Matthew 11. Hallelujah. Verse 28 is a popular scripture. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Go to Micah. I'll read just the first sentence of that verse, because that is where I am picking my thought from. Verse 10. Micah, prophet Micah, his prophecy, chapter 2 and verse 10. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Two times.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
You understand. Sit down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, let us have the sense of the reading. Let's get the understanding of the reading. Amen. I'm quite impressed that despite the rain, this number of people can still come to church. Quite impressed because nobody sitting down here lives near this place. Because we are not in a neighborhood of a residential neighborhood. So everyone that came here entered one form of transport or the other to come. Nobody strolled here because this place is not near anybody's house. So it's very impressive to see that you defied the rain, the horrible weather with all the floods, and so many of you without even cars, don't even own your own cars, yet you struggled to come. That lets me know that we have a people that have made up their mind, nothing will stop them from serving God. Amen. Continue like that. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 11:28, he said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I have spoken this several times in this ministry, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the rest for a Christian. Hallelujah. The rest that Christians, amen. Listen, church. The rest that Christians have been promised is in two phases. The first phase begins with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the second phase is the rapture. Our promised land. Because, church, listen, the journey from earth to glory in the is typed by the wilderness journey from Egypt to where? To Canaan land, the land of promise. And I have tried to prove it here several times how every bit of the aspect of that journey was a type of the Christian journey from earth to glory. You see? Now, you will observe that they left the promised land and they were anxiously going into their land where they will now rest. They will no longer be servants. They will no longer be slaves. They will own their own land. It is a land where they will settle down as their own. That is the rest that was promised them. From the bondage of Egypt, they will now go and rest in their land. The Egypt there is the world of sin. Every one of us was subject to the bondage of sin. There's something inside of you that desire to serve God. Apostle Paul brought it out clearly in Romans chapter 7. How, you know, those two forces working in him. He wants to do good, but evil is found in him. And he discovered that the evil that he should not do, when he wants to do good, he finds himself doing that evil that he hates to do. And as unbelievers, God still leaves a representation in our conscience. And even after then, you gave your life to Christ. Hallelujah. You gave your life to Christ. And remember, when you give your life to Christ, there is a journey before you between Egypt and the Canaan land, the wilderness journey. Now, this wilderness journey is also in two phases. But the aspect that I'm bothered about is that you will discover that it's not everyone that left Egypt that ended up there in the promised land. They all had the message. They all had the call. They all saw the messenger, the prophet. They followed him. They were baptized in the name of Jesus, if I will say so. Because Apostle Paul, in describing what happened in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he even referred to the rock that brought forth water as what? As Christ. Because it is a type of Christ, the fountain of the living water. In the wilderness, they all passed through the Red Sea. You see? They were baptized with a cloud. They saw God raw. But not every one of them entered the promised land. Why? There were still battles. When you come to Christ, you give your life to Christ. Hallelujah. Something happens to your conscience. You are now deciding, I want to stop all this sinful life. All this life of carnality. That is why you gave your life to Christ. You are coming to Christ, but although you are telling everybody that I have decided to serve God, everybody in your environment, everybody in your community, all your friends, they now see you don't go to Bia Palo again. You are now carrying your Bible, you are going to church. But you still discover that there are a lot of weaknesses of the flesh you are still battling with. And some of those weaknesses, as it was in the wilderness journey, it can also prevent you from entering that rest. And those weaknesses, hallelujah, that you are struggling with, Christ said, come to me, all ye that labor. It's not laborer carrying block and cement in construction site. It's laboring with yourself to live a life pleasing before God. You are living a spiritual struggle. You want to do good. Evil is dominating. Every day you are regretting. Apostle Paul said, how miserable he said. He said, oh wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this nonsense that is going on? That is the condition of everyone that has decided to follow Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Christ said, come to me, you that are laboring. Come to me, and I will do what? I will give you rest. And the rest that Christ gives us is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Once you have received eternal life, the baptism of the Holy Ghost coming to dwell inside of you, you cease from struggling to live a life pleasing before God. That is the rest. That is the rest. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the rest. Christ said, come to me and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Now, watch it. Christ said, come, I will give you rest. And you have come. And you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I am talking to as many as have confirmed their call. You have confirmed that you have received eternal life. You are the one that need to hear what I'm saying now. And I know majority of us sitting down here have received that experience. Christ said, come, and you came. I will give you rest. He gave you the rest. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. But the prophet Micah, he said, this is not yet your rest. That's why I'm emphasizing. And my little exhortation topic is, this is not your rest. This is not your rest. You say you have received the Holy Ghost. Now, somebody asked William Branham, I have received the Holy Ghost. Now that I've received the Holy Ghost, can I act anyhow I like now? And William Branham answered, he said, sure. If you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, say, you can act anyhow you like. Then he added, but I assure you, if it is the Holy Ghost you have received, he said, you will not act wrong. You can act anyhow you like, but if it is the Holy Ghost, you will not be able to act wrong. Amen. Why? Now remember, I said that there are two faces of that rest. So why Micah is saying this is not your rest? Because we still have the second phase ahead. Therefore, this cannot be the rest. This is not yet your rest. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember that why we say the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the rest. The wilderness journey is a type of the grace, period of grace. Because remember, Moses was the one that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. But he did not take them into the promised land. It is purposely done so. Who was the person that took them to the promised land? Joshua was the one that took them to the promised land. And when he entered the promised land, it was Joshua's lot ministry to give every tribe their land, your boundaries. You stay here, you stay here, you stay here. This tribe here, Benjamin here, Reuben here, Gad here, and all the rest here and here. Everyone, this is your land. And now, what does this speak of in the grace age? Moses, hallelujah, is a type of Christ. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18 says, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. And we see the book of Acts, I think it was Stephen or Peter that made reference to it. That prophet that Moses spoke about was Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the one that led the children of Israel also and led all of us. Grace. Led us from bondage of the law. Bondage that the uncircumcised had. Bondage of sin. Out of the world. Christ came and showed us the way out. And when we came out also, like it happened in the wilderness, they left Egypt, they passed through the Red Sea. That was our own baptism also. When you come out of the world for justification, you have to pass through another sea of the blood of Jesus, water baptism, and come out to the other side. And once you go through that water baptism, you come out of the other side of the issue. There's therefore no condemnation for you again. Let Pharaoh try to follow. Amen. That same power that saved you through the blood of Jesus, that same power will destroy them. Oh, not too many people know that. The power in the blood of Jesus. That power saves God's children. That power destroys the enemy of God's people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, but Christ died and left. Like Moses was also taken away. I hope you know Moses did not have a grave. I hope you know Moses did not have a grave here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was taken up. Christ too was taken up. And there has to be a Joshua to take the people to the promised land. Who is that Joshua? The Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Joshua ministry is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. That's why he said he must go before another comforter will come to continue the journey to the promised land. And it is when you receive the Holy Ghost that he will positionally place you. To some, he made apostle. To some, he made prophet. To some, he made everybody. He shared, he put everybody in your position. And everybody has his own part to play. That is in the land of promise. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I quickly want you to note that every inch of the land that Israel occupied in the promised land, it was by battle. The promised land was given to them by the great and the greatest and the honorary landlord of this earth. But every inch that Israel occupied, they fought a battle. But they are in their promised land. Why are they still fighting battle? Church, you have received the Holy Ghost. But before any promise of God will come to pass in your life, there shall be a battle of faith. There shall be a battle of faith. You have to know that, church. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hand up. How many? Wave it joyfully. Joyfully. Thank you. Put down your hand. You have entered the battlefield. Tell your neighbor, you have entered the battlefield. Tell him. If you have received the Holy Ghost, tell your neighbor, you received the Holy Ghost. Welcome to the battlefront. Welcome to the battlefront. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's something outstanding that took place that I quickly want to mention. Hallelujah. Joshua, the first group of people, the first tribe that he, Joshua, settled, gave them their own portion. That is, all Israel did not occupy their promised land at the same time. Everybody cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost the same day. Amen. Hallelujah. All Israel did not receive. Three tribes were the first to receive their own. Can we open in Joshua chapter 1? I want you to know this is not yet your rest. Joshua. Hallelujah. You see, if God grants you understanding of the scripture, Christianity becomes easy for you. Because nothing takes you by surprise. So we are not unaware of the devices of Satan. When Satan tries to use some of those his tricks around you, you will know immediately. See, Satan don't start. See, he don't start. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1. Amen. Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host. And command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, these are the three tribes that were the first to receive their own rest, their own land. This is what Joshua was telling them in verse 13. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and do what? And do what? Shout, help them. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he has given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan towards the sunrise. What am I saying here? Like it happened there, You have received your own baptism of the Holy Ghost. You are not to rest until your own brethren also have received. Amen. Only you will not go in the rapture. The evidence that others will receive is that you too, you have received. And how will you know that others have not received? By their fruits. You shall know them. You are to, now that you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, number one is you have no rest until your own brethren also have received the same experience you have received. And that is one identification of a true Christian. A true Christian is so full of brotherly love that he's always uplifting one another. That is the meaning of feet washing. I wash your own, you wash my own. You have to pick up one another's body. I see the way some people intercede for their sisters that are looking for fruit of the womb. With the same body also, intercede that they too might receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That they too might be saved. That is number one. There is a tendency for you to just get complacent like that and just relax, say, now I know I'm going to heaven. Because not too many people even understand salvation. The average inter-message ministers in other churches that I have even been part of, though while there I disagreed with them, they don't go for evangelism. They don't go for evangelism. That's why they remain little flock. If a church is up to 100 members, then it means that church must have been up to 30 years old. And why they are up to 100 is that now they are children of their family and then they born. As they born, then they grow. Then they born, then they grow. My brother, my brother's wife, the wife, the sister that stay with me. And so, like that. So, my sister that stay with me. So, she married another brother in the church. So, we come born children. So, all of us, they are the ones that make up that church. They don't even have signboards. Where is this sister? She don't come. Okay, Chi. Your former church gets signboard. No. Answer them. They made it. Your former church.
No, sir.
They don't get signboard. Beautiful building they have, but no signboard. The day I went to look for it, we had a meeting there. A Voice of God recording. They wanted to address all message preachers in the country. So we went there. I searched for an tire. Where the church now? And when I entered, a beautiful place, wonderful place, fully air-conditioned, marbled everywhere. Hallelujah. But the next street doesn't know there's a church there. You see? I sent a sister to go to Shomolu and get me tapes. Let me hear what John is saying there. Ike, you are the one that sent her. She brought the tapes to me during the weekend on Friday. I said, oh, you are the one that said, do you live there? She said she lived in the street behind it. Said she has never known that an inter-message church is there. She said she didn't know there's a church there. She had to look for us for where is it? Where? You see? Why? Because they will not evangelize. Why? Now, why I'm bringing it up is there is something they are hanging on to. They are hanging on to the fact that no one can come to Christ except the Father draw you. They believe in predestination. They say that those who will be saved will be saved. So there's no need you go into any evangelism. Now you know you have taken that revelation to the extreme. if all those that will be saved will be saved, then why did God make some evangelists? Hallelujah. It's common reasoning. Does an evangelist sit down in a church behind a pulpit? Hallelujah. When are there no fishes in the ocean, in the river? Eh? How will you get the fish out if a fisherman does not go to the ocean? What did Jesus tell Peter and Andrew? Follow me and I will do what? I will make you fishers of men. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And now the same thing also, you can carry that same thinking to the rest. Oh, now that I've received the Holy Ghost, I am now sure of going to heaven. I am now sure, because it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Anytime I have confirmed, I have prayed. Anytime I sit down, I say, Lord, if you are sure you have given me the Holy Ghost, confirm it. I go fall down. Bah! So I have confirmed. Therefore, there's nothing anymore. I'm just waiting for the rapture. But the Bible says, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest ye fall. That's why it is not yet time for that type of rest. That is not that type of rest. You rest from struggling to serve God, but you are not resting because there are so many foes around you. So many foes all around you. Hymn 251. If you don't know where it is, I will sing it for you. Christians, seek not yet repose. Hear thy guardian angel say, thou art in the midst of foes. Watch and pray. Principalities and powers must ring their unseen array. Wait for thy unguarded hours. Watch and pray. Guard thy heavenly armor on. Wear it every night and day. Ambush flies the evil one. Watch and pray. Pray. Hear the victor's hood of God. Still the mark each warrior's way. All with one sweet voice exclaim. Everybody, watch and pray. Hear above all, hear thy Lord. Him thou lovest to obey. Hide within thy heart his word. Watch and pray. Watch as if on that alone hung the issue of the day. Pray that help may be sent down. Watch and pray. That circumstance says, guide thy heavenly armor on. Wear it every night and day. Ambush lies the evil one. Watch and pray. Which armor? Ephesians chapter 6. Open it. Verse 10. This scripture is to the Holy Ghost filled believers. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that is the cunning devices. that will make you to fall. So that you will not enjoy your Christian journey. How can somebody be filled with the Holy Ghost? Live a life of struggle, 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 struggle. What? Verse 12. The emphasis here, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Who do we wrestle against? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in what? High places. High places. Ah. Sister Choma was in my office yesterday. She was telling me what God opened her eyes to see during the camp program. He said, Daddy, he said, witches will be coming to church during service. She said, God opened her eyes. She was looking at them. He said, some of them, because she was sitting in the nursing mother's side, she was seeing them as they sat at the back there. As they sat at the back there, he said, they will be blowing some things out. They came in the spirit. You know, it's a spiritual visitation. They came. He said, they will be blowing some things coming out. He said, and everybody around there will be sleeping. Will be sleeping. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word. So, if the devil wants to attack your faith, so that you will be a faithless Christian. And remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the church shall live by faith. And faith can only come by hearing the word. So, the Bible speaks about the wiles of the devil. That's what I'm trying to explain. The cunning devices. You think that it is only when he makes you sick, or you collapse and die, or you frustrate your business, that you say, Satan is attacking me. He will attack your faith. Because he knows the power behind anybody that has faith. And so if he can make you not to hear the word that will give you faith, he has achieved something. And so people will come to church desiring to serve, to listen to the word and worship God. But as soon as it is time for the preaching of the word, you just find sleep will come. That type of sleep is not a usual sleep. Anytime sleep comes when someone is going on, there is a witch in the spirit near you, blowing something. Sleep. Sleep. From today, you see your neighbor sleeping, tap and say, there's a witch near you. Shake away and say, wake up. There's a witch near you. Sister, how you take no? Now they make you sleep. There was one vigil that we had one time. One Friday vigil like that. That same sister confessed to me. And they sent them come. They sent them come. But that day, she said, and a brother came and told me, he said he has never slept for vigil. But he came, he said he sat at the back. Then we were still at Mafuluku. He said he was sitting at the back. And then he said, this uncontrollable sleep. He said, he will shake himself. He said, how can a whole him come to church and sleep? He said, Kai. He said, no, that's it. There's something around here. Then he left that place and changed his position. He said, when he changed his position, he said, his sleep clear. He said, in only 10 minutes, now he hears somebody they scream. The girl told me later that she had a handkerchief that they gave her from the Marine Kingdom on assignment to Bride Assembly. She said, when she do like this, anybody that breathes touch. We do like this, sleep. All of you here, sleep. All of you here, sleep. She said, while she was doing that, she said, an angel came. You remember the story. He said the angel was killing her. Who sent you come here? Fear. Who sent you come here? Fear. It was the beating that was too much. She started shouting, leave me, oh, leave me, oh. Then they grab and come. That vigil ended by 5:30. We did not finish that deliverance till almost 9 a.m. between me and that girl. All the weapons she came with to attack us were defeated. Your enemies shall be defeated in the name of Jesus. Sister Choma said, while that was going on during that period, that day, she said, suddenly she saw me and now entered the hall. She said she saw a group of angels that followed me. He said, immediately I entered, said, some went this way, some went that way, some. He said, as soon as those ones who went that way went there, I said, those witches took off and ran out of the hall. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My emphasis here is, what are they to do? The craftiness, the cunning devices, the wiles of the enemy. So you don't sit there and say, I have the Holy Ghost. Nobody can do me anything. No, Satan cannot do me anything. I now have the Holy Ghost. Ha! He who think he stand, take heed lest he fall. Which verse are we? Which verse? Hallelujah. Verse 13. Verse 13. Am I correct? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done this, having done all to stand. This is the armor of God from verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That is, you know, it's using this way in the form of an allegory. Is using this just to give you a picture of how you are supposed to stand and dress spiritually. So he's using the physical body to describe how you are to dress the armor of God. Now, if the trouser you will put on will stay in your hips, stay in your waist, what do you do to keep it on your waist? A belt. That is what he said. Guide your loins. With what? Truth. What will make you to stand and your trouser, when your trouser go down, what will happen? Your nakedness will be exposed. Do you understand what I mean? Hallelujah. And so, truth is what you guide your loins with. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That is the first part of that dressing. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. What is the breastplate of righteousness? It is your signboard. That is when the target, those of you who do any in a shooting range, those of you who know anything about shooting, there's what you call target. When you want to practice how to shoot. It's not everywhere you shoot someone that the person can die. There are specific places. Once you shoot somebody there is no way he must die. And they call the place target. And one of it is the chest region here. Because once you shoot anybody around the chest, they hardly escape. Now, he's saying that let there be a breastplate that protects this target that the enemy cannot get. He said, let it be what? Righteousness. Put on righteousness. Righteousness becomes your breastplate. That when they see you, they will see nothing to accuse you of. Because Satan is known as the accuser of the brethren. So when he looks at you, he's looking at where to hit you. He will see a clean heart. There is no unforgiveness there. There is no hatred there. If Satan can get your heart, you become polluted. For out of the abundance of the heart. And the heart is around the chest region. That's why the breastplate should be what? Righteousness. I don't know if somebody is understanding me. Am I talking to somebody? Okay. Verse 15. And your feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. Your feet here. Amen. Your feet. That is what you use to go about. Anywhere you go, let the name of the Lord be glorified. Anywhere you go, talk about the kingdom. Anywhere you go, they ask you, why don't you wear trousers? See, sister, look, William Branham said something. I've been quoting it here. He said, don't preach me a gospel. What should you do? He said, leave me a gospel. That is, let your life preach the gospel. Sister, if you want to be a preacher, you want to witness for Christ, your dressing alone will cause somebody to come and say, sister, God bless you. Where is the worship? He got reason. He has seen that you are different from others. Hallelujah. There is a way you live. A brother was, a young man was brought to this church by a brother here who is a clearing agent. Somebody introduced him to be his clearing agent. The day he came to my office, I asked him, how did you come to this church? He lives in Germany. He will bring goods here to clear. But all the agents that he has been using before will disappoint him. But one day somebody said, there is one agent I will introduce to you. Hallelujah. What's that brother's name? You are here, I'm sure. You never miss service. And then introduce him. So the man told me, he said, somebody introduced me to this brother. He said, what I saw, the honesty I saw around him. So he asked him, brother, where do you worship? That's what I'm saying. Where do you worship? Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the only gospel of peace is the gospel of the kingdom. Because Christ is the Prince of Peace. He's the only true peace giver. No other religion gives peace. He's the only one that gives peace. He's the only one that gives righteousness, joy, peace in the Holy Ghost when Christ comes inside of you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Anywhere you go as a Christian, as you leave your house today, Lord, do something around me that will cause somebody to exalt your name. Hallelujah. That is what that scripture is saying. It's part of the dressing. The shoe you wear. That's what he's saying here. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. What is a shield? Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what a shield is? Those who fight with swords in those days, they hold it like this. When you want to fire them, they will use this and hit it back. They hit it and hit it back. It said, that shield of a Christian is what? Faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's what? Faith. Faith in what? It is only faith that Satan can come to discourage a sister that is married for so many years, no issue. And we come to tell you, the devil will tell you, you are serving God in vain. Why not go to Babalao? Can't you see how the other sister went to that prayer house where they give her something to drink? Can't you see the next day the belly shoot out? You are still here? It will take faith, the shield of faith, to kick that thing away. How? You will tell him, it is written, among the children of God, male or female, none shall be barren. It takes faith. It takes faith. Like Apostle Paul will say, what shall separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? It takes faith. It takes faith for you to tell the devil, a sister, she used to be in charge of our children's church department. And one time she came to me and she was getting to almost 40 years old and no husband. And one day she came for something else in my office. And I said, I call her name. I said, sister, you have never asked me to pray for you for husband. You know I'm married. And she laughed. I said, daddy. He said, that is the last thing I include in my prayer. I said, why? He said, I know I'm a daughter of God. And for every daughter of God, there is a man he has prepared for her. Ha! Somebody who should have been, men would be making, not disturbing her life. That is the shield of faith that wave away frustration, that wave away anxiety. It is the shield of faith. Ha! You don't have work from January until now. Hallelujah. And I want to let you know that 2 months after she made that statement, she brought one man that came from deeper life for marriage. And we wedded them in this church. Praise the Lord. For how many years you have finished working and then no job? Unbelievers around you are getting jobs and changing jobs. And the devil come to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many people will not succumb and give you condition? Come and push cocaine and make money. Come and do this. You are serving this God in vain. You are doing this. How many people can stand with the shield of faith and say, brother, all things work together for good? How many people can stand here? Your husband is dead. Oh, in an accident, everybody around you die. You are left alone, and yet every day you are walking in the church. And then you can talk like Job. The Lord give it. The Lord take it. It will be, that is a shield of faith that will still make you worship the Lord despite all calamities around you. That is what you must put on. The shield of faith. And finally, and take the helmet of salvation. What is the helmet of salvation? Helmet there covers the head. It means your thinking every time should be heavenly, heaven bound in your thinking. Everything you do, heaven. I must go to heaven. I must go to heaven in the morning. Lord, eternal. I want to live eternal life. God save my soul. Every time you are checking the graph, I hope I'm still in line. All your thought is heaven, 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 heaven. That is the helmet of salvation. And finally, he said, the sword of the Spirit. Which is what? The word of God. Hallelujah. What Satan is afraid of is not how long you fast. What Satan is afraid of, hallelujah, it's not how long you can pray. What Satan is afraid of, hallelujah, he will come around you and see whether you have the weapon to fight him. And the weapon that can fight Satan is what? The sword of the Spirit. It is the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the whole armor of God. Jesus Christ came after 40 days and night fasting. Satan came to tempt him. Hallelujah. What did he use to resist Satan? It is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the whole armor of God.